In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
Tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, we have Alan Gerstner from the Skokie Parade and our political roundtable of Ken Jakubowski, Dave Lundy, and Eric Elk. We've also got our good friend Carl Kozlowski and actor Stephen Tobolowski talking about a new TV series they have coming out. And get your calls in for What's That From happening at the end of the show. But now, live from the WGN Radio Skyline Studio here in Chicago, we are broadcasting live.
It is hot. It is smuggy. Oh. It is humid. It is all the things that make a sticky hot summer night in Chicago.
Yeah, I was when I got in, I said to Roger Banish, I said, come on, let's go outside. Let's take a little walk while the Sox game's still going on. He went, oh my God, I can't go out. He said, I just cooled off.
How dare she?
You were mortified.
I was mortified because I had planned it all out and I was so cool coming in and calm. And then when I walked back in from your, as I told you, my sweat had sweat.
My excursion was to cross the street and watch everybody on the river, you know, in their kayaks and
okay,
back.
That was something I'd never seen before, was the nighttime kayaking.
Oh, it's really cool.
It is cool, but so I've seen it during the daytime, which I'm still not able to wrap my mind around because I've seen the Chicago River. It is a murky, nasty body of water, but if you want to go ahead and possibly fall in it, that's fine.
But can I just say, I've done it twice.
Yes.
It's really fun, and you really... Unless you are really, you know, wild,
yes,
you can't tip unless okay, you're really kind of rocking it.
What if somebody comes down the river in another boat? If there's someone's being a little reckless with their kayaks, it's always the others that I'm concerned about.
Right.
You know, managing your own craft is one thing, but other people can't always be trusted. So here's my question, though.
Yes.
So those boats have lights on them.
Yes.
And they're well lit. And this is the lifeguard in me. What bothered me was that the boaters did not, the kayakers did not have anything that was reflective or bright should they go in the water and need to be found.
See,
it's very dark.
They should, because you wear a light, you know, you have to wear the life vest.
Right. Those should either be lit or at least...
Or have reflectors on them at least.
Right. Well, and reflectors probably would not help underwater, so they need to be lit.
When I did it, one of the first times, we did it for a radio recess, a WGN radio recess, and they gave us, you know, those little, like glow sticks,
yeah,
almost. So that was kind of cool.
Maybe they have a glow stick on them.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But that won't... Can't see that too far.
Yeah, that's not... I mean, I'm the mom that has my son wear... both my sons wear fluorescent swim tops so that I can see them in the water.
Okay.
I can always catch... Like, if they're going to be in the water at all, at the pool or at the beach, mm-hmm, I can always spot which one they are,
right,
very quickly. So
like a bright color.
But fluorescent yellow, fluorescent
yellow,
green. Yeah.
Okay.
Very fluorescent orange. Yes.
Yeah.
They stand out. And they... I don't care if people make fun of me. And they don't make fun of them. They look stylish.
Right.
So, it is a very hot evening, and I know you had the night off last night. How was Cher the show?
Oh, God, I missed you guys, but Cher was really good. It was funny. I was telling you off the air, my mom had tuned in, and I told her. I said, hey, I have the night off. I'm going to go see the Cher show because I had these tickets from a while back. And she said, oh, you're not on. I said, I'm seeing Cher. She's like, okay, I listened to the rest of the show anyway. It sounded great.
Okay.
Like, oh, thanks. But
well, that's the show you're on. So
that's
that
right.
Works out
so,
very well.
No, Cher was, I thought it was very, very good. The only thing I would say, it was a little long. And they focused, it's her life, which I found really interesting, and they focused a lot on Sonny, which is a huge part of her life, so I think they had to. But then they focused a lot on Greg Allman, and then I think his name was Rob Camaletti, the last guy that she had dated seriously. They focused a little too much on them, and I wanted to
see
more,
a lot more of Sonny?
Her life.
Wasn't there more of
it
Sonny?
It was probably 70% Sonny.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
To me. All right, that's
and that
cool.
Part was good, and they were cute, and the songs were great, the singing was great. And they did it, and this isn't giving anything away because the reviews were already out. They didn't have one Cher. They had about six different actresses portraying Cher throughout her life, like a young Cher, and then, you know, Cher in her 20s. And then they had the main narrator was Cher as though she would be now. Is it how she would look now?
So, what's the context of it? Does it start with her reflecting on her life and how this all started?
It does. It starts out where she's touring, and again, it's not giving anything away. She's on
Spoiler,
tour.
It's about Cher.
Yeah, she's on tour, and they're going to do this variety show of her life. And she's saying, "What do we start with? Where do we begin?" And then it's like, you go into the Wayback Machine, and it's cool because they had some old TV footage, you know, of Sonny and Cher that they had kind of in what would have been a mirror, as though she was looking in the mirror. So they started off that way. Okay. And it was very cool.
And I'm guessing this is a collaboration from Cher with writers and songwriters. Are they all her songs, as everything we're familiar with?
Everything we're familiar with. And Dean made a comment that I agree with. They played some songs in their entirety, but some others they didn't. You know, so they started off with, say it was la-da-da-da-dee, la-da-da-da-da. And then that's all they did. You know, I would have liked to have heard the whole song. And then they did, and then Half Breed, which was one of her songs from the 70s, that was her mom. Her mom sang that song. The actress portraying her mom, and when she was younger, saying it's okay that you're an Armenian and that you're being called Half Breed. You know, you should embrace this. And the mom started to sing the song a little bit, and again, they just stopped it. So I would have liked to have heard more Cher songs, but they played every Cher song you can imagine.
And that's the thing too. You said it was already a little bit long, even without the full songs that you wanted. Interesting.
Yeah, just cut it a little bit, maybe by 15, 20 minutes, but it was very good.
So is it a recommend from Andre Darlis?
I would. All right. I would definitely recommend it.
Is there, I'm guessing there's an intermission if it's that long.
Yeah, there
was
about a 20 minute intermission.
What do you do during the intermission? Do you stay in your seat or do you wander around, look around the theater, see who's there? Because often it's especially on an opening night, you have a lot of people to mingle with and everything.
There was a lot of people. Dean was there. John Williams was there. So I did see a few people that I knew, Stephanie and Sarah as well, from our marketing department, from our management team. But I used to, it's funny you asked that, Patty. I used to stay in my seat and then I would walk around and then I went back to staying in my seat. And last night I just had to use the restroom.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. And the women's line is always, you know, up the stairs, around the balcony.
Well, I always get a pretty good idea, and I like having an aisle seat. So yes. I have a pretty good idea when I think they're about to wrap up, and I dash for the almost always running up the aisle.
You should.
Before everybody else.
Because then otherwise you're just going to get stopped in the aisle.
Although they give you a pretty good amount of time to get to the restroom or get your snacks or cocktail and everything. And which theater is that? The Oriental?
This was the Oriental.
Oh, how cool. It's a beautiful theater.
Oh, God, no kidding.
It's very nice.
Both the Oriental and the Cadillac are just such beautiful theaters.
Well, that's one of your options of the next couple of weeks. It's going to be hot. Maybe you want to go somewhere with some air conditioning. I was at the Museum of Science and Industry where they have their Pixar exhibit. It's where science and math come to life. I think it's computer coding and math and all the great elements that go into making these incredible stories that we've come to love. And you can go through and actually learn how they maybe even just make a limb move or how they make Sully smile, you know, from Monsters, Inc.
Oh, cool.
And you actually have some control over certain things. You can do a little bit of sculpting. They, as always, the Museum of Science and Industry has a lot of great hands-on exhibits with the Pixar exhibit. We actually saw it a few years ago in Philadelphia, and they've added a couple more elements because obviously since then some movies have become bigger. Like Inside Out, I think, was already out at the time, but they do a great job. They have this, you stand in the middle of these panels, and you can see how they created the idea of joy from the, you know, sort of the concept, a smiley face, and then how they created her body and how they get her to move and the color. They basically wanted her to like kind of glow from within.
Yeah.
And they show you the entire process of how that works with lighting, with shading, with obviously you also have the storytelling part of it, but really, and then a lot of the artists that were involved in these movies give interviews, and so you can stand and watch some of the folks tell you exactly their background, how they ended up at Pixar. It's a wonderful exhibit. I highly recommend it.
How cool is that?
It's so cool.
And you don't have to have seen all the movies get it and understand
This is definitely, and it's a world that for the most part, I think people are familiar with, even like how they, you know, the models that they use to create the toys in the background, all the toys that they came up with for Toy Story 3, because now did you see Toy Story 3?
I did, yes. So, I did see that one.
Yes, so that you have obviously, you know, toys upon toys in the, you know, the play, in the preschool. So they kind of go through the process of that night, and I so loved it, and Griffin is into it.
I was going to say, I'm sure your kids love that.
Yeah, there's actually one area with they call the I can't remember. I have it in my photos and everything, but there's one part where you can actually watch them layer on a grid all the elements that are joy.
How cool
and
is
Declan
that?
Has liked that, especially when we saw it before in Philadelphia. The difference between here and if you've seen the Pixar exhibit in other cities, because it is traveling, they have divided it up into two rooms. So they have sort of an introduction film. They show you what the whole process is, the pipeline of making these movies. And then you start going through one part of the exhibit. Then you cross onto the other side of the museum to another room and see the rest of the exhibit. But it's so well done.
That is... Animation always just amazes me at everything that, you know, when it starts from a storyboard and how they build it. And I know in a lot of the Oscar telecast, they kind of show how it's done. It's just amazing to me.
Oh, it's incredible. And, you know, these are movies that, you know, Steve and I, when we were younger and just dating, we went to go see Toy Story. And now to have all the DVDs and be able to come home and Griffin's like, which one do you want to watch? I think that A Bug's Life is one of the most underrated Pixar movies. I think that that's one that people don't think of as often as they do of the, you know,
the big ones.
Even The Incredibles now with Incredibles 2 came out. So let's take a break here because we have to talk to our friend Alan from the Skokie Parade. And, of course, Roger's going to be emceeing the parade. Woo-hoo. And we'll be part of that. So let's take a break. More after this on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis in just a moment on 720 WGM. Are you getting sticky and steamy yet? I don't know. That doesn't sound very pleasant, but it's true. I hope you have air conditioning wherever you are, or maybe you like it. My mom likes the hot weather. She wants to live in the desert, which is still different than this, because nighttime in the desert is quite cool. This is still muggy and icky.
Can I tell you a little tiny fact about myself? I never used to put on the air. Ever. I mean, and if it got this hot, I would consider putting it on.
When did you change? Relationships?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. I know you're laughing, yeah. But yeah, relationships. Now I put the air on when it's 80.
Okay. So. And you know what? Let's talk a little bit about how we cool down in this weather. I want to make sure we introduce our guest, Alan, who is, now are you what's your title with the Skokie 4th of July parade?
So it's executive producer. And chairman.
Executive producer and chairman of the Skokie 4th of July parade coming up, guess when? On the 4th of July.
On the 4th of July.
If you're not entirely sure, that is next Wednesday.
Yes.
It kind of crept up on me. I'm going to be honest. It feels like the days are just flying by. Yeah. So I'm excited to be a part of the 4th of July parade. The WGN fan van will be rolling. We have some goodies to give away, so we'll be out there. I'm not sure who's going to... Do we know what the weather's like yet, Alan?
It's going to be... beautiful.
Yes. Yep. I got Tuesday, the 4th of July, warm and sunny.
Wednesday. Isn't it Wednesday?
Oh, I'm sorry. Wednesday.
See, I just said it was on. See, you're going to mess people
up. I know. I'm
They're
sorry.
They're going to wake up on Tuesday.
You know what? It says Tuesday. Demetria sent me this forecast. Tuesday and 4th of July, both days warm and sunny. Afternoon scattered showers and storms possible.
Yes,
highs in the low 90s.
But they're not coming to Skokie.
No. They're not coming. Have you built a barrier around? You've got a wall around Skokie and there's a rain bubble? Okay.
We have weather cops that stand up there and say, sorry, not until the parade's over.
Mm, there you go. Here's my question about the parade, because you guys do a little bit of a weaving sort of a parade. You wind through the streets a little bit from the staging area to the end point. And I think that people, where would you recommend? What do you think is like a part of the route that maybe people don't know is a great spot that isn't always packed yet? Although now we're doing it on the air and we're going to ruin it for somebody. They're going to be like, no, that's my corner. Do you think there's a spot we can let our just WGN listeners know about?
Well, the problem is over the past 3 years,
yes,
the parade has been, the crowd has been growing.
Yes,
last year was just, it was packed the entire route.
So good.
Which we love.
Of course.
We love. And we have usually over by Walgreens, which is right before the Skokie Swift tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Thins out a little bit.
It does, and that's not far from the staging, the stage where a lot of the bands.
The reviewing stand, right?
Reviewing stand. I apologize. Yes.
Right. Now on the turn at Oakton and Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that like to sit by the old First National Bank building, which was the Chase building.
It's got a little bit of a park there, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes.
It does. And there's a gazebo over there.
Right.
And now there's a brand new Chase Bank there. That's a great place because the bands will stop and play there. So that people, if they want to hear the bands, and we have six of them this year.
Oh my God, you have awesome bands.
And we've got them from all over the country. I got them coming from as far as San Antonio, Texas.
That's great.
I've got this year the Navy band Great Lakes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
Which is the original John Philip Sousa band.
Hello.
So they're going to be there. They're going to play for us. And they only do two parades on the 4th of July.
Who's the other one?
It's up in Milwaukee.
Really?
Yeah, they're leaving us afterwards. That's why they have to be up in front.
Well, at least they're not competing with you at another parade, which I'm not either, apparently, this year. I'm only doing the Skokie Parade.
That's great.
Yes.
I tell you what, when you're done, park the van and come and sit in the reviewing stand with us.
Oh,
that
yeah.
would be lovely. Do you want to come?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take turns driving the van and handing out buttons.
Come. Can I just watch you? Can I just like wave sparklers?
Sure.
Can I be the John Williams? John Williams did that for the Pride Parade, by the way.
Did he really?
He was just in the stand.
He was waving. I thought he was waving sparklers.
It could be. I have been. I don't know. But you like sparklers?
I do. The last 4th of July parade I went to, oh my God, it had to have been at least 10 years ago. And it was the Southside one, the one in Beverly. So I'm looking forward to this one.
Oh,
I'm gonna walk to it.
Come see me. We'll make sure you're in the stands with all our
dignitaries.
I'm
not going to heckle you. As soon as you come by, Patty, I'm going to be like, what? I'm going to have the whole crowd like chanting and cheering.
Well, you have to because she has to stop at the VIP stage because the master of ceremonies will be stopping the van to talk with her on the microphone and the loudspeaker, which travels all the way down to the Skokie Swift. And we are going to ask her about, you know, what she does for a living and,
and what
time she's on
and, yeah.
and who's on with her and all that stuff. And because we have a lot of new people every year because they hear about them. They don't know who's in the parade.
Right.
And so we have to reintroduce everybody. And, of course, Patty is the one of the stars of the parade. And Andrea, you know what, Andrea? You need to come in, be in the parade with her, and do your wave. The queen wave.
What if I spectate this year? Because it's probably too late to get in this year. But
no, it's not too late. Just jump in the van with Patty.
It's my van.
Because you know who's standing right beside you, Andrea, is the guy who runs the parade.
I know him.
Yeah.
You have a lot of famous radio people in this parade. Patty, Roger, Alan, Terry Hemmert.
Yeah, Terry is our Grand Marshal
this year.
She's awesome.
She's the best with the Beatles. She is the foremost Beatle aficionado, and she's a great lady.
And she's a big WGN fan, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
We love Terry.
Yeah, so you stop in the van and throw beads or whatever Patty brings to throw into the crowd.
Are you bringing beads?
We can't throw these. These are buttons. So
throw them like frisbees.
We don't throw things. You know that, Roger.
Okay. Look at him instigating.
Everyone to their corners.
Yeah.
Let's go to the news right now. We come back. We'll catch up some more with Alan, who is the executive director and...
Executive producer and chairman
of the Skokie 4th of July Parade happening on Wednesday, fair enough, on 4th of July at noon is the kickoff. We'll catch up more about the route so that you can find where to go and where to see us. This is Chicago's very own, and you've got to make sure that you're listening to Steve Cochran every single weekday morning, celebrating the most valuable person on the planet. Take care of yourself this weekend. It's going to be hot. I know it seems silly to remind you, but sometimes we overdo it. Man, people who go running in weather like this, Andrea, I just don't get it.
Oh, I don't either.
They seem to love it. They're just like hot yoga, hot running, I guess.
I don't understand it either. If you're going to be out, truly stay hydrated because you're supposed to, you know, drink, what do they say, like a bottle of water for every 2 hours that you're out there.
I'm on my 3,000th ounce.
I know, right? You know Dr. Kevin Most. So he would always come out and say, stay hydrated. And if you're playing golf or you're going to be outside for a long time, do like water and then a Gatorade, water and then a Gatorade. He didn't take his own advice and passed out.
When?
This is maybe 6 months or so. Well, no, it would have been last summer.
He's golfing in October.
Yeah. Although he has a couple of homes all over.
In
so
places.
Yeah, in warmer places. So he plays all year round. But yeah, he didn't take his own advice.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You have to be careful. And at this 4th of July parade in Skokie, we hope that everyone stays hydrated but comes out and enjoys a great time. It's even bigger and better than ever. We have in studio with us Alan Gerstner, who is the executive producer and chairman for the Skokie 4th of July parade. And how do you begin the process? I know that you probably start pretty soon after you finish up. I was at one of your dinners and you guys were all set to go for the next year.
Exactly. We usually take 30 days off.
Uh-huh.
So
decompress.
Right. We need to just push the parade away for a while. And then in September, we start. We start getting everything together. We open up registration. This year, we opened it up at the end of December.
Okay.
And I can't tell you how fast the parade filled up.
Wow. Really?
It was amazing. And our parade has gotten so much good press over the years that we don't have to go out and get people anymore. They're coming to us. All the bands this year from all over came to us. except the Great Lakes, you have to request that through the government. And our military person, the guy that's in charge of the military grand marshals, is Arnie Oskin, and he's retired Army, and he does a great job. He gets the Humvee for our parade marshals, the military grand marshals. We've got two from World War II this year.
Oh, wonderful.
So they're great, and we try to get everything wrapped up by May so that we can start the banners and the scripts and get everything to Roger. And Roger's on our board. He's been with us now. This will be his fourth year, and the crowd loves him, don't they, Roger?
Well, if you say so.
I can see that, Roger.
I think it's the...
You know, it is such a blast. When you guys contacted me 4 years ago, I said, well, sure, I'm not doing anything on the 4th. And it is a blast. So this year... we've got a, I'm going to actually make the trek from the start of the parade, before the parade starts, all the way to the VIP tent. I get to ride on the back seat of a convertible this year.
Yes,
so I'll be doing
right.
the wave. Oh. I'll be doing the wave. And our singer, who's our anthem singer?
So this year, we decided to get one of Skokie's finest, police officer Robert Ochoa, and he has... sung at different venues, and the police chief in Skokie contacted me earlier this year and said, how would you like to have one of our officers sing the national anthem? And I said, you know, that sounds like a really good idea.
Absolutely.
So we met, and he's the nicest guy.
Did you make him audition?
He sang for me. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want to be, that's a tough song, and it's a lot of pressure on the 4th of July. You want to make sure that goes over smoothly.
Yeah, so we're going to be riding in the car from the start of the parade to the end, and then he will sing at the VIP tent, and then the parade will start its way down. It takes, how long does it take to go from the start to the finish, Alan?
About 20 minutes.
Okay.
It's a little over a mile, the route. It starts at Oakton Community College, comes down Lincoln to Oakton, through downtown Skokie, and then down Oakton to Oakton Park, where the reviewing stand is and the dignitaries. And then it ends right after Oakton Park.
What time does it start?
12 noon.
Perfect.
Yep. And we hope
right,
to be over. We hope to be over by 2 o'clock.
And how long, about how far, what's the distance altogether on that route? Is it about a mile and a half?
It's just a little over a mile.
Just a little over a mile.
Right.
Okay. I'm asking because Elliot Serrano, who I'm messaging with, because, you know, the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis, the Patty Vasquez Show has shown up for the last 3 years, and we've brought the entire crew. Adam Selzer has been there, and I know that we've had Charles Turk, who also wore a similar suit. Roger.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Roger and he were sort of both decked out in these spectacularly patriotic suits.
Yes,
oh,
that was
cool.
Very cool. And Roger made you dance last year.
Yes.
Yes.
I believe, was I wearing the Captain America?
Yes, you were.
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, we dress up, Andrea. We don't play around when it comes
I'm
to
I'm in,
this.
You guys. Yeah. If I go, I'm dressing up.
We there have a great time.
Yeah.
It's a blast.
I will certainly be there and watch you guys. I don't want to, you know, invade your parade since
no,
I'm
you're a part of the family.
So
you're part of WGN.
Yes.
What are you talking about? You're on the show.
The wave.
You joined the show. By the way, on The Crown, she doesn't wave like that. Have you seen? She does this.
Oh yeah, you're right.
She does.
And
there's
a reason for that. There's some weird. There's a reason why she does it that way.
It looks
to get a breeze or something.
Oh, no,
it
no,
looks like
it's like a
cuts the humidity, right?
It looks like she's saying, "Come here and go away" at the same time.
Right.
It does.
I want you. No, I don't.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Come here, go away.
Yeah.
It does.
Go away.
I'm not sure. You know what I just read today? Speaking of the Queen, and I know I'm going off topic, is that you're not allowed to eat garlic in her. Like no one in the family is allowed to eat garlic because she hates the smell of it.
Really?
I had never heard that before. I guess the palace chef let the secret out that now Meghan Markle did not know that and now has to, like, even when she's out with other, like, the family, that you're not allowed to have garlic.
No Italian food, huh?
No, well, no. Garlic isn't everything, man. Garlic is a spice of life.
It is.
I don't know what I would do without garlic.
When the royal wedding was happening, you know, Prince Harry's wedding, there was a list of things that you can and can't do around the queen. And everybody in the palace has to constantly bow. You know how, maybe they're serving her a cup of tea or something, and they have to either bow or curtsy. And if she says, oh, I wanted cream with my tea, and they leave the room just for a fraction of a second, and they come right back, they have to curtsy. So every time someone sees the queen, you have to curtsy.
Wow. Well, see, this is why it's important that we had our Independence Day and get to celebrate the 4th of July. Otherwise, we'd be worried about eating garlic and curtsying.
Yeah.
You know who's in the parade again this year?
Who's in the parade again? Besides the WGN fan van.
People that you're wearing the hat.
Oh, it's the 50th anniversary. We're celebrating Special Olympics.
Yes.
In Chicago.
So they bring their athletes from Illinois. And the kids have a blast.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
I emceed the Special Olympics golf outing two years ago, and these kids were awesome. Of course, they're Olympians. They're awesome athletes. They get up, they drive the ball 200 yards and said, okay, your turn. I went, oh, I don't think so. You crushed me.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, these kids are great.
That's great. Well, that's a wonderful thing, too, is that the parade features the bands. You know, obviously, you have your local radio, whatever your media outlets are. You have your sponsors of the parade. Obviously, Boy Scout troops and Girl Scout troops and athletic teams and the schools in the area.
And Jesse White.
And the Jesse White tumblers, I know they go from there to the Evanston Parade.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm in a parade, I'm like, where are the tumblers? I want to see the tumblers.
Oh, I know.
They're amazing.
Everybody loves the tumblers. They say, as long as Jesse White and the tumblers are going to be there, we're coming. So,
and he's such a charming guy, too. I know that I've only seen him at one or two parades because he's, you know, the kids roll out there and they do a great job. What are some of your other favorites in the parade this year?
Well, I'll tell you.
I know you don't want to pick your babies, but you know, we won't tell anybody that you picked some of your favorites.
We'll keep it just between us, right?
Sure.
Well, the Great Lakes Naval Band is probably my biggest favorite in the parade. They're great. The servicemen that play in the parade are just wonderful. Sam the Wild Wheeler.
Okay. Just again, the big bicycle?
The big wheel that it's kind of like a circus act, and he does things within the wheel.
Oh, that's cool.
Ooh.
Yeah, like he'll bring someone in from the crowd. Make them lie down in the middle of the road.
Yes.
And he wheels over them, and there are bars across the wheel to support it. And they go right in between the bars. It's really weird looking.
Roger,
but,
you should volunteer since you're the master ceremonies.
You know, if it gets too hot, I may just pass right out in the middle of the road anyway. Who knows?
But it's on our website. I have a video of him on our website. So if anybody wants to look at it, it's Skokie. The number 4th.org. Mm-hmm. Go to the website, click on this. It's labeled Sam the Wild Wheeler, and you can see him. He is a circus act. So
it's Skokie.
One of the other great things about it is that we have so many ethnic groups from Skokie that come out for the parade, and everyone is represented in the parade. And I think that's what's so great. We show the diversity and the ethnicity and the far reaches of of all the people that make up Skokie in that parade. And that's what I always like seeing is all the different groups that come by.
I'm laughing because Alan saw me jump when you entered the conversation.
Really?
Roger, no, you're coming much hotter than everybody else.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm lowering
you.
I'm just gonna lower you.
I'll whisper a little bit.
Okay. Thank you. I think the heat is getting to my hearing. I'm not sure.
It's just 100 degrees.
Yeah, and I'm like, why is he yelling at me about the great things?
Roger always comes in hot. So.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a break here while it's getting steamy in here. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. More in a moment on 720 WGN. It's the 4th of July. No, it's the 4th of July weekend, I guess. I don't know. We're talking about the 4th of July. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea, do you consider this to be the 4th of July weekend, or is that next week? I'm so confused.
It's so funny. I got a haircut today, and the salon, my stylist was saying the same thing, that they're closed, you know, because you normally close for either the next day or the next couple of days or the days before. So they're doing it. They're celebrating next weekend is 4th of July weekend. However, there was a stat today, Patty, that said more people are traveling today than any other 4th of July in the past.
Really?
Yeah, the stat was crazy at O'Hare. They had more travelers today than they have in years past. Maybe because the weekend, you know, it's kind of a skewed weekend.
Yeah, I think they're taking the whole week off.
I think so.
I think a lot of people are taking the whole week off. Traffic was lighter today.
No, I don't know where you were, but traffic was... I miss the roads that you were on. We left at about 11:30 to go to MSI from the northwest side, and it was gruesome. The traffic was terrible. Then when we left from there, there was an accident because we were coming... I had to go to Lincoln Park, and there was an accident on Lakeshore Drive. So we get off of Lakeshore Drive. Andre just told me that there was a police activity on Columbus, where we were at Columbus and Wacker, like just moments. So I don't know if it was just happening, but everything just locked up. Yep. It was insane.
Yeah, and then traffic was rerouted because there was a shooting at Wabash and Wacker, so you were probably getting that residual
traffic.
There was a
shooting at Wabash and Wacker? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, 14-year-old boy.
14-year-old, yeah.
In the leg. He's being treated.
He's okay.
Oh, my God.
So, which, you know, there's a guest coming up a little bit later. I saw one of his posts. Our friend Carl Kozlowski is joining us, and he's in town from Los Angeles, and he was saying how surprised he was at how nice our library is. I'm assuming the Harold Washington. He goes, considering it's murder town.
Oh,
like, really?
Carl.
Really? You want to do that before you come on my show? Yeah. Talk about my town? Like, Los Angeles, is any safer?
Yeah, come on.
Okay, yeah. Just, we're going to give him grief about that.
We're talking about Plastic Town.
But then there was a shooting right down the street.
I know.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
That doesn't help my story at all. But it is a great city. It is a hot weekend. And maybe people leaving today and doing all their trips, and maybe they're coming back on Tuesday, you'll have an even more packed crowd than ever at the Skokie 4th of July Parade, Alan.
I hope so.
I think that's a possibility.
I want to see that route just packed with people 3 and 4 deep. That makes me very happy.
That sounds great.
Especially coming down in the convertible. And this year, my oldest grandson is coming from California, and he called me last night, and he said, Grandpa, can I ride in the convertible with you and wave to all the people in the parade?
Oh, that's awesome.
That's lovely. I look forward to that.
My daughter said, Dad, he said he had to call Grandpa because he really wants to ride in the parade.
It's fun. My son is he was disappointed that we're not throwing shirts out. We had Blackhawks shirts last year.
Right.
Oh, yeah. If you remember, that was intense, Dave, in Evanston. Funny story about Evanston. That might have fallen through the cracks, and we may have all forgotten to register the WGN fan van. So we're just doing the Skokie Parade. Unless I did call. And so as a coordinator, as the executive producer of the 4th of July Parade, I can imagine as the chairman, if someone calls you on the Friday before the 4th and says, hey, you know, we had this really big move. It was a lot of chaos going on. Someone forgot to put in the paperwork. They did not return my call today. Are you not surprised, Alan?
Well, Evanston. No, I'm not surprised.
Yes.
And you know, I contacted you and I said, Patty,
yes.
Sign up.
Yes.
Here's the link. Sign up.
He contacted me in October. So we were ready. We were registered a while ago.
We can have Dave come.
Yeah, of course. He was with me last year.
I would love to.
But?
But I've got a Cubs game that day. Sorry.
That's a good excuse.
That is a good excuse.
Yeah, you know, I will take that.
Well, you know, I did. I marched in the Evanston Parade last year. I couldn't make Skokie because I was doing something else, which was disappointing.
Yes.
But no, I'm afraid I can't join you. In fact, I was looking at your poster going like, oh, maybe it's early. Maybe it's like a morning thing and I could do it. Now it's noon.
And don't change it ever. Noon is a good time for a parade.
Noon is a great time for a parade.
Yeah,
it is.
That's perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Roger, how do you get ready for the 4th of July Parade? I didn't mean to make you back
down. Oh, you cut me with my ears off.
Oh, hi, ears
That's
off.
Okay.
Yes. How do you get ready? What do you? Because you've got to be on for a good 2 hours. Because I've hosted events that are similar to this, and it's not easy to be sort of energized and enthusiastic and talk about everything coming by. That's a lot of work, Roger.
Well, it is, and in fact, Alan just gave me my script. There's an actual script that basically lists the entries. So I have to announce each float or entry that comes along. Plus, we have corporate sponsors, so I have to actually read some commercials.
You have to get the names right.
To announce the corporate sponsors.
Yeah.
But you guys know me. Andrea and I have known each other for a long time.
Yes.
And Patty, you and I got to know each other when you started working here about 4 years ago. And Alan's known me for about 4 years now. And you guys know that I there's something about me, and I'm not sounding like I'm patting myself on the back or anything, but when I get in a situation, I just go crazy. Patty, remember was it the Memorial Day parade?
Oh, we had so much fun.
Where was I walking in that parade?
He was in front of it. He was dancing.
Was
he was handing out. No, this was the Norwood Park, not my parade, but my community. Norwood Park puts on a great Memorial Day parade. And he came out and helped me decorate the van. And we had like banners and flags on it and everything. And we were handing out candy. It was a really
good
time.
I was walking in front of the van. You were in the van with the kids. Well, the kids were walking and your mom in the van. And I'm yelling back, I'm yelling into the crowd, ladies and gentlemen, it's Patty Vasquez from WGN Radio in that van. Look at that. And everyone's applauding and everything. And it was a fantastic time. I just have a blast in those situations. So when they asked me to be the MC of the parade, I actually got into it and the parade started and everyone started coming in, it was me.
Roger, I just wish you had more passion.
Yeah.
I wish you had more enthusiasm.
I think Roger's too flat.
I don't know why.
Yes, I agree.
I don't know why Norwood Park didn't invite me back. Let's take a break here. More after this on 720 WGN. It is the nasty, hot weekend leading into the 4th of July celebrations, and that's okay. We're going to have a good time, and we've got all of our friends joining us in the studio. We have Eric Elk, who is the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois. Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications. We have Ken Jakubowski, who is the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises. And, of course, this is the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Joining us as well is the chairman and the executive producer of the 4th of July parade in Skokie. It is Alan Gerstner joins us as well. And I thought because it is the 4th of July weekend, and there's a lot of heavy stuff this week. I don't want to dwell on a lot of things. I think it's been people are on edge. This has been a really contentious week. I deleted Facebook off my phone and just didn't want to have anything. I know I posted a photo today of Griffin at the MSI, but I just want to take I have personal friends who made things very ugly on social media, both publicly and then sent me messages privately. And I thought, this is someone I knew for 10 years. We never, ever even talked politics. And out of the blue, he's calling me names and saying I'm butthurt. And I was like, what is happening? I don't even, all I said, and by the way, all I had said was that Maxine Waters, I thought, crossed the line. Mm-hmm. That was the post that I had made. And he came at me, and I was like, this is what I'm doing, but what is honestly, Eric, that was the post that he got entangled with me on.
And he wasn't liberal. I saw your text today on that, and it just, I was kind of blown away.
Yeah, it was really weird.
I can't imagine sending, kind of almost like a nasty gram to a friend. I mean, or posting that publicly.
You know what's weird, too, is that do you notice, so I have a personal page and then I have a page that I put just news stories on. So it's a lot of retweeting from WGN-TV or stories that we do here at radio. It's just the story. That's all it is. So it's not giving an opinion. It's just, okay, President Trump says that he wants to name a replacement for Justice Kennedy by July 9th. So people will start getting wars of words and then start taking personal attacks at each other. So these are friends who don't even know each other.
Right.
And they're just slamming each other. Well, and then comes the insults like, well, you're fat. Okay,
whoa.
You know what?
Yeah.
Delete. So then I private messaged each of them and said, listen, there's no room for that. If you want to sit there and say, I hope he doesn't name a successor by the 9th. Or, if you want to give an opinion, that's fine. But don't start calling people fat and ugly and come on, that's
so
such
weird.
A character,
it's
assassination.
Funny you say that, because right? So I had my monthly political lunch today.
Oh, and I was going to ask you about the Lundy lunch.
Yeah, yes. And I started the lunch today.
You should go to these, Andrea.
You should come.
I will.
Yes,
I will start.
I started today with kind of I don't want to say a lecture on civility, but a plea. And I said to everybody, I said, look, these are very difficult times for some of us. The sight of these kids being wrenched away from their parents is, it fills you with anger and rage and frustration and so on. And so we tend to get more and more hot. And I'd like to see if we can all just not question each other's motives, not question each other's character, and not call each other names. And we're pretty good at that anyway.
Yes.
But you still, it can get bad. And I have to tell you, I had the best discussion at my lunch today in probably a year.
Mm-hmm. Was Chris there?
Well, Chris was there.
I noticed that he was eating while your son was speaking, by the way.
But Eli was there, which may have helped. My son, my 13-year-old, was there. And it may have helped people be on a little better behavior. But it was a very energizing, spirited debate and discussion without the nastiness.
I think that's a good point to make, is that a spirited conversation, debate, or just sharing our opinions, right? That's what I do. That's the whole Patty Vasquez show, with Andrea Darlis. Andrea does the news. She's a journalist. We talk about the news. We'll talk about the topics. You know, when she does, we get in a conversation. Mm-hmm. We do try to make sure that we respect the craft that you have.
Right. Absolutely.
But I am a talk show host with an opinion in a sense that's what we do. That's kind of, we digest the information as it comes in. I'm going to get some things wrong. I'm going to, you're not going to like everything that I say. Some things you'll like. But, Brad Tassel the other night brought up an interesting point off the air. The stakes aren't high here. The conversation that we're having doesn't rise to the level of someone's hostility toward anybody on this show or to the people on social media. What are the stakes involved if somebody disagrees with you? Why bring it to name calling or escalating it to threatening somebody or not wanting to be friends? What are the stakes for you is really my question, because the person that disagrees with you isn't necessarily the problem. It's what is our participation in this experiment we call democracy?
We seem to have forgotten how to disagree without being disagreeable. One of the great things, as you just mentioned, the hallmark of our democracy is we disagree. We have a revolution every 4 years. We have a whole new government, and then we all no shot is fired.
No,
we're all Americans. We accept the result. We trust the institutions, and we move on. Now,
right.
Part of that is frayed now because of the behavior of the person in the White House, who seems to have a purposeful effort to kind of tear those institutions apart and to pull us apart. And I think that's what's causing some of this. I think people are very upset. They've not seen anything like this before. And it's, it is...
Unsettling.
It's very unsettling for everybody.
But I want to challenge you on something you just said, Ken, because you said, we accept the result. Well, the fact is that under Barack Obama, large chunks of the country didn't accept the result and considered him illegitimate. And the whole birther controversy was all an effort to delegitimize him.
Well,
so I actually don't agree that this is, it's worse now because you have the president as the insulter in chief.
But Dave, how much has social media contributed to that? The advancement of technology.
Twitter.
Has made a huge impact. Yes. It allows people to scream and to hurl invectives at people whom they don't know. And it has become part of the natural discourse, both Facebook and Twitter. We didn't have these issues.
That's true.
Before before social media, we didn't have them.
The 405 says it seems that social media brings the worst out of people, both in politics, media, and entertainment.
Before social media, you had the comment section on newspapers and
necessarily.
No.
Technology allowed you to do comments. 20 years ago, you couldn't do that.
No, 20 years ago, you couldn't. But what I'm saying is, even before social media came along, you had the comments in the newspapers, and the comments got so nasty, so horrifically personal. And it did empower people to do that, to attack and insult and so on.
Right.
That many newspapers and media organizations removed their comment section.
Right.
But I agree with what you're saying. I just think that the advancement of technology, which allows us to do all of this stuff in real time, even comments in the newspaper dating back to the early. To the late 90s, you weren't really able to do that through your computer at your desk.
Right.
It's changed everything in our country. It's changed everything around the world. And I'm not sure our democracy has adjusted to that yet.
So is this, I'm curious, is this just the technological manifestation of familiarity breeds contempt? Because you're essentially, you're closer to people, you're more familiar with people, and you're more contemptuous of people.
And it feels personal. It seems that when I speak, people take it personally, or any of the hosts on this station, or perhaps on other stations, people hear something and somehow they feel it's an attack on their opinion, and we often think our opinion is our identity, and we're having trouble separating that. Now, Eric, we had you and Scott, I thought, had an excellent conversation on Monday night about the Republican Party. Dave, I'm not going to discuss what happened on Wednesday. I'm teasing. It was a little bit, I will say this, it was a little bit different because I wanted to talk about the future of the parties. And I felt like Scott and Eric were really kind of struggling with what it means to be a Republican and have the masthead of that, the symbol of the Republican Party now be something that seems to not reflect what your ideals are.
Yeah, I mean, that is exactly what's happening. And it was interesting. I don't know, it was Tuesday or Wednesday this week. David Brooks had a really interesting column in the New York Times. And he talked about separating the two in terms of conservatives and Republicans being almost, you know, you can't be one or the other. Or you have to be one or the other. You can't be both.
Are you experiencing any hostility within the party of if you're not behind Trump? I mean, are you experiencing some conversations where it seems as though if you're not behind this president, you're somehow a traitor to the party?
Well, yeah, I mean, there are folks who believe that you have to be 100%, you know, with 100% fidelity and loyalty to the president or to the governor or, you know, to various different party elected officials. And I struggle with that because I can't do that. And that just goes against everything that I know. I'd supported ideals in people who I believed in. Mm-hmm. And I felt that they supported some of the things that I had believed in. But I can't support someone who goes against everything that I do believe in. And someone who is, you know, with the president, you know, you have someone who continually lies, and I can't do that.
But there are people who feel that the policies and the accomplishments that they see are worth it, that regardless of the lying, and it's just a way of distracting everybody, and he's just messing with the media, that the tax cuts are worth it, that the building the wall will be worth it, that the negotiations with North Korea will be worth it, that unemployment is worth it, that all those things are worth it in order to get, it's worth all the lying and the tone and the disrespect. And you know, all the, that's what they think is, it, and that's my sense of it. It's worth it.
I completely disagree. I think integrity matters. I believe that what we're seeing now, you know, we talked about this on Monday night with so many Republican members of Congress who were against Trump when he was running. You now have so many members of Congress who fail to stand up to anything that he's saying. And what we're seeing is, you know, you don't see many statesmen anymore. You don't see folks who are standing up for issues. You don't see folks who are willing to stand up for something, even if it may cost them their election. It's very rare now. And so many elected officials are in office to stay in office.
Right.
Their main job right now is not to push a legitimate issue that our state, our country may be facing, but rather their objective is to figure how to stay in office.
Well, Eric, let me play devil's advocate for a second. So you're a Republican, hypothetically elected, let's say Congress, let's say the House. What are you supposed to do? He won, and he acted exactly this way when he was running.
Mm-hmm.
You have to respect the will of the people, correct?
He isn't doing anything he didn't say he would
He's doing everything that he said he would do during the campaign, and he's acting exactly like he did during the campaign. We all thought he was nuts then, and he's just kept on going. So what do you do? You don't really, it really isn't your place, absent some medical issue or some illegality, to throw them out, right?
I understand that, but I also think there are some folks who now have lost their voice. I think, you know, previously they would stand up for various things or call certain things out or, you know, not accept or go along with certain things. And now they have lost their voice and refuse to. And those that have stood up and said something feel as though they've gotten, you know, smacked down pretty good. And there's a whole part of society who will go out after them.
Well,
I have to take a break here, and I have a listener on the line, Anthony, who wants to join our conversation. You're welcome to join us anytime. It is your conversation. 312-981-7200. That's the number you can call. Executive producer Michael Heidemann is answering the phone, so if you're kind to him, we'll talk to you as well. You can also text us 312-981-7200. More on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlos in a moment when we return on 720 WGN. On this hot and steamy night, I kind of want to take your temperature. How you feeling? How you feeling today? Andre, how are you feeling?
Oh, warm, muggy. Okay, now. Because I'm in a cool studio.
How are you feeling emotionally?
Emotionally, a little divided, a little torn.
It's a long week?
You know? Yeah, it's been a crazy long week, yeah.
That's why I thought, you know, instead of going after any of the bigger, like, there's a lot to digest from this week, I thought we'd just kind of mix it up a little bit and just have a broad conversation because it is the 4th of July in just a few days. Of course, we've been talking about the Skokie 4th of July parade coming up on Wednesday, appropriately enough, on the 4th of July. Our good friend Alan Gerstner, who is the executive producer and chairman of the parade, has been hanging out with in studio. We also have Eric Elk, Ken J. Kubowski, and Dave Lundy in studio. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlos. And I do want to talk a little bit about democracy, about what it means to be an American citizen. And Anthony, to that point, has a comment to make about our conversation. Anthony, how are you doing tonight?
All right, Patty, and how are you?
Very well, thank you. What did you want to say?
Well, Patty, I just have to say this. I am so tired of hearing about these illegals and their poor children. You know, ideally, you'd like to keep them together. But you're coming here illegally, and we have to make things difficult. We have to make them undesirable so you stop coming here. I have sympathy for the first few that came over and were separated. But once it became public knowledge that this is what is happening and they continue to come, you can't put the onus on the people who are trying to solve the problem. You have to put it on the people who are creating the problem.
I will say this. You know? So there's a legal scholar I've been reading about this, too. I've been trying to understand this because the comment on the screen was that the illegals seem to have more rights than citizens.
They do.
Well, so what I'm reading right now is there's no question that all persons in the United States, including unauthorized migrants, enjoy the protections of the Constitution. And that's according to a law professor from U of C. There is debate about that amongst scholars. So we can go back and forth on that. And so that's one thing there as far as what it means to have the law of the land.
Is that once you step foot on U.S. property, you then have full protections?
Hold on. Once an alien enters the country, the legal circumstances changes, for the due process clause applies to all persons within the United States.
So here's the issue.
We are a land of laws.
We are.
Well, you have to keep them from coming in. That's a problem.
And okay. I want to know, too, in your answer, I'm just curious, and I don't know this. Are we the only country that if someone is born in this country, they automatically become a citizen?
We are not the only one who has natural born citizenship.
I think most everybody does that, yep.
Right. But the point I was just going to make is that the Constitution has certain rights that are conveyed on citizens and certain rights that are conveyed on persons. And the rights to due process are conveyed on persons. That was a deliberate decision by the framers of the Constitution to include everybody. And that's what the law professor said. And I've heard this analyzed by a number of law professors.
See, this is perfect.
Why can't these people stay in their own countries and fight to make them better? You know, the American colonies, we didn't like the way England treated us. England was the most powerful country in the world and we stood up to them.
Yes, Anthony.
That's why we have America. You can't just keep running from your problem.
Hold on, Anthony. So we came in and took over a country that was inhabited by an entirely other population of people. So you're saying that they should do the same, I guess, is kind of what you think they're doing. They're coming to our country and trying to take it over that way through the borders? Because...
Well, no, not necessarily take it over, but you know what I mean?
But what you're talking about...
The thing they're supposedly looking for is asylum, but yet you got to stay and fix your own country. We can't just take everybody from every country that's not working out.
Hold on. It is a little bit dicey when you put it that way, that the reason we have a country is because we fled persecution and whatever horrible things were going on in other countries who came here, but we took the land from people who were already living here. So it's an interesting way to put it and say, why don't they just do what we did? I don't...
Well,
I mean, if you want to throw the whole Indian thing in there, I mean, people get conquered. If you look at the world map, it changes every day.
There you go.
Somebody stronger came along, and the Indians lost. I mean, that's unfortunate, but you think the Indians would still be running around and doing their lifestyle today if we hadn't taken them? Somebody would have taken them over. That's just how the world works.
But your point was, why are these people all leaving their countries? Why don't they just stay in their countries? Why are they coming here? And I think back to my ancestors.
Yeah.
But I think back to my ancestors. My ancestors fled persecution in Poland and Romania and in Eastern Europe. You know, Ken, I'm sure your ancestors fled persecution in Poland. And
but they came here legally, correct?
Well, some did, some
many,
didn't.
Many as refugees were turned away.
I have
during,
many friends who, exactly.
During the Holocaust were turned away.
I think, you know, I understand where Anthony is coming
absolutely.
From.
Absolutely.
I do think it's important to spend a few minutes.
You got to draw the line somewhere.
Well, and I don't disagree with you. I mean, what I'm not, I disagree with that this is the place to draw the line, but we do have to draw the line. We don't have an immigration problem in this country. We have a border security problem. And that's something that we need to focus on. A wall isn't going to work, at least not the way the president envisions it. Maybe an electronic wall. I don't know. But
well, did you know that America takes in more immigrants than any other country in the world with our legal allotment? There's no other country like us already. What's happening is most of these people coming in are of Hispanic descent. So it's not fair that they get to transform the makeup of our nation just by their sheer numbers. I mean, look at California.
Well, the funny thing is, if you look at California, that was Mexico. More after this on 720 WGN. Hot and sticky. That's what's going on right now, Andrea, in Chicago. Oh. It's going to be 99 degrees tomorrow.
I'm glad he played the Go-Go's. It makes me so happy.
It feels like summertime.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Happy Friday, everybody. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. This is the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Joining us in studio is our regular Friday night, Freak Out Friday night panel. We have Ken Jakubowski, Eric Elk, Dave Lundy. And joining us once again, we had our friend Carl Kozlowski in studio a few weeks ago. You introduced us to a charming comedian. And I've been following you on Twitter, by the way, and on Facebook. I do want to say I'm glad that you enjoyed the museum. I'm not sure why you had to go with Murder Town on your post. You didn't think I was going to see that?
Sorry.
You didn't think that was going to reach my eyeballs? I'm just saying. You want to come to my town? You want to? I'm just saying.
In know. Fact, Patty's going to kill you.
I know, right here.
Wait a minute. This is so contradictory.
Wait, she's got a gun, folks.
Welcome home, Carl.
Thank you.
I know you lived here for a long time as well.
Yeah.
You worked for the Chicago Tribune as well.
Yes, for a while.
And now the owner of Radio Titans and the great, very successful podcast, Oh Man, That's Awful.
Yeah.
And you said there was some great news today.
There's a show. Just look at RadioTitans.com. Tune into the last episode of The Gray Zone with Mark Ebner. We have this great true crime Hollywood scandal journalist, Mark Ebner, who has a show. And he broke national news today about a William Morris agent executive who had a sex partner die in his dungeon. The dude's an S&M kingpin, and a guy died under mummification by him. And Mark broke the story last week on his podcast, and now it's blown up everywhere.
Wow!
I'm sorry. It's midnight.
You didn't do it. You didn't cross any lines. I just feel bad. And then saying, well, I wanted to make sure we got your, you know, made sure we made, first of all, acknowledge that you have a lot of great success. And I didn't want you to think I only had you on the show in order to introduce your friend and our next guest on the line, Stephen Tobolowsky, who I absolutely adore. Hey, Stephen, it's Patty Vasquez. How are you doing? And Andrea Darlis and the whole crew.
Hey, Patty. I am doing great. Did you say it's going to be 115 in Chicago?
Something like that. The heat index is going to be somewhere around there. Yeah.
Man.
It's a miserable
hot. I was there like 6 weeks ago, and it was beautiful. It was chilly even. It was delightful.
Well, that's the thing about our town is that, you know, what do they say? If you don't like the weather, wait a minute. It'll change.
Oh. Hey, no. They say that in Dallas, where I come from. You know, so they say that a lot of places. Wherever the weather is bad, they say that.
Now, I do have to acknowledge that you are a regular on Nick D's show. So, Carl, I just want you to know it's only because I feel as though I have a little bit of permission to borrow Stephen Tobolowsky, who everyone adores, obviously. We love all of your work from Groundhog Day to Glee, Memento. I mean, like, I don't even... And now, of course, one of the great sitcoms on Netflix, One Day at a Time, and soon to be the project that you were working with Carl on.
Yeah. Hi, Stephen. The reason I'm in town, folks, is that tomorrow night I'm at Second City's DeMott Theater at 10 o'clock, and I'm going to be debuting my, I've created a sitcom pilot called Asleep at the Wheel, because it's sort of like a Curb Your Enthusiasm thing, exaggerating my life as a entertainment reporter and podcaster and stand-up comic in L.A., and how I always mess things up by either falling asleep or saying something completely inappropriate while in the middle of an interview. And both happened in this episode, and Steven's kind enough to be the guest in the storyline that we created. So, it's pretty funny, thankfully.
How did you enjoy working on this project? Go ahead, Steven.
It was very interesting. I mean, I knew Carl, first of all, not really as a comedian, but as a writer. And Carl is a very, very good writer, and he works at the papers here in town. And Carl asked me if I, you know, I did his Radio Titan show a couple of times, and he showed me this very delightful script. It was very funny, which he wrote. But Carl, I mean, you're burying the lead. Isn't that what they call it? Like, what? I mean, what I thought was so fascinating about your story is that you suffer or have suffered from narcolepsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why we call it a sleep at the wheel. Yeah.
That you would fall asleep at completely inappropriate times. Now, you mentioned that, but if people didn't know you had narcolepsy, they would just think you were a lazy bum. But you have this where you fall asleep, and the script is very interesting and fun. A lot of the fun comes from dealing with the what do you call it? I guess the curveballs life gives you. But it was very delightful. We had fun shooting the show.
Thanks, man.
A lot of fun.
And what are the? I mean, this is the kind of project that I mean, people dream of doing if they're in the industry, in particular stand up comics, would love to be able to shoot a pilot. What went into making this come to fruition, Carl? How'd you get? I know Steve was already a fan.
The weird thing about it, if this actually sells this time, is that we actually shot this three times, and Steven, despite being, I think he was named one of the 10 busiest actors in Hollywood, or one of the 10 most viewed actors in Hollywood, because he's on all so many things, and he actually showed up, like, I had no money the first two times, and then finally got lucky this time around, we got real money, and a team from a CBS sitcom called Superior Donuts, they said, hey, we got the summer off, and then they wound up getting canceled, so they really had free time, and so we had a four-person team come and film it, so it looks great, and they got their editor involved, so it all just it looks really great this time, and basically just was working on it for a couple of years, and then, you know, I guess the third time's the charm, as they say. I don't know. I just, like, both times before, I was like, I know this kind of sucks. I'm not going to put it out there. And somehow Steven was kind enough to keep coming back and giving us his time because the script was good, but just other parts of it were always coming up short because I didn't have any money until I finally convinced somebody this go around to throw some money down and make it happen right.
I was feeling a little bit like those William Morris people in the S&M Dungeon of Pain working on this project, because we shot, you know, Carl says, Steven, I'm going to be very careful of your time. I know you're busy, man. We'll be very careful with your time. So we would shoot the scene in Carl's house, in his room, where he lives, in his apartment. And we would shoot it there, and it was very funny. We all had a great time. Then I'd leave, and Carl would say, oh, it's absolutely fabulous. It's absolutely great. It's going to be terrific. And then I didn't hear from Carl for like 6 weeks, and he called back and said, like, you know, I think we're going to have to shoot the whole thing again. I don't think it worked at all. We're going to have to shoot the whole thing again. I go, well, Carl, I'm kind of busy. Well, we'll wait till you're free. So they wait till we're free. We shot it again, and Carl was saying, like, this time we have a guy who's a real genius with lighting, and the sound guy is just perfect. Everything's going to be great. This fellow came in with like, his lighting equipment looked like it came from my patio in Dallas, Texas. Wow. These weren't like real lighting instruments that you know, like you'd have a lamp and a flashlight that you'd bounce off the roof. And we'd shot the whole scene again, and it was delightful again. Carl called up the next day. It was absolutely fabulous. We absolutely loved this. And then 10 weeks later, Steven, this whole thing is just horrible. We're going to have to shoot it again. And I really had thoughts that like, either I was in a dream. Maybe I was in Carl's dream, maybe his narcoleptic dream. And I was a part of this dream. We're going to do this scene again and again. But I have to say, each time we did it, right, Carl and I deluded, we had a great time each time we did it.
Okay. that should instill confidence in all the listeners to come out and watch the show. I'll tell you that.
Did you have a good time, Carl?
I had a blast. But Stephen, look at it. It was like Groundhog Day. We just did it over and over until it was right.
Just to pick a name randomly out of the air.
Yes.
I get it. Yeah.
Speaking of which, of course, we're getting a lot of texters with quotes from Groundhog Day. But there is one texter who goes, Patty, you should check out the movie Sneakers. Well, I got something to tell you. That's one of my favorite movies.
I
don't know why I love. Look at me, I'm driving. Anyway, I I was just showing Andrea. You know, I have 10 pages stapled together with your name on Stephen Tobolowsky, but only 2 paragraphs about you, and the rest of it are just all the movie roles that you have done and television series, and of course this project, which I am amazed at how you were able to carve out time to give to Carl. I'm just curious. I mean, do you do a lot of independent projects like this when someone approaches you and says, I have this dream project, will you be a part of it? Or was it specific to what Carl wanted to do?
It was specific to Carl because he was one of my first supporters in Los Angeles with my writing. Not my acting, but my writing. Some of the stories, the Tobolowsky files and things that I had written. And my first book, Dangerous Animals Club, he gave me a lot of time with Radio Titans and pushing Dangerous Animals Club. And he's been a big supporter this way. Plus, he's quite an amusing guy. And like I said, a very good writer. And so, you know, I had a lot of trust that the project would somehow come together. In answer to the first part of your question, if I have time and if I have the energy, I'd like to work on independent projects because you never know who's going to be the next Steven Spielberg out there or who is. And you always learn something when you work on projects that don't have that cushion of money. You know, like right now we work on One Day at a Time or we work on Silicon Valley. Those shows got money to help take the bumps out of the road. And when you have, like Carl, he was saying, like he got the, what was it, Carl, the sound guys from Superior Donuts?
It was a camera team, yeah.
They were phenomenal.
Thank you.
But you know, that is one of the bits of good fortune that comes to you sometimes when you do an independent project. And I always believe that doing it, and if there are young people out there with the beginnings of projects, my mantra is do it. Because when I teach acting and improv out here in Los Angeles, I find 95% of the people in my classes do not do it. And if you do it, you're already in the top 5%. So I like the idea of people being able to do a project. And if somehow, if I'm able to do a show and help participate and help make them do it, then it makes me happy to do that too. And I always learn something doing it.
I love that you participated in this. And again, everyone recognizes Stephen Tobolowsky from over 200 television and movie appearances, now including Carl's pilot. Again, what's the name of the pilot?
Asleep at the Wheel.
Asleep at the Wheel.
Which actually happened. I crashed my car on the freeway in L.A. once, so I don't drive.
I was going to say, are you allowed to drive anymore?
I'm allowed. I'm just afraid, so I don't. So, yeah, I'm Uber's best customer.
Carl, don't drive. I didn't think you drove. If you're driving,
no, I don't
in
drive.
Los Angeles,
I'm saying I'm afraid to.
Oh.
Stay off the road, Stephen.
Heaven help us. Yeah, please.
I love this from the 224. I love the part of the movie where the woman has to try to get you to say certain words. My name is my passport. Verify me, please. Oh, my God. I love that movie.
In Sneakers, it's like, I remember I got that script from my agents, and they said, you know, when you read, look at this, I'm thinking, oh, this movie, Sneakers? What a stupid sounding movie. Ugh. You know, and I just expected this was going to be an incredibly dopey film. And I read this film and I go, I called my agent back and I said, I just know what $100 million reads like.
Oh.
I said, this film is a hit. And this was back in 1980 or $90. You know, it was such a great script.
and is proof of how good of a script Sneakers is. If you haven't seen Sneakers, go out and see it. It's a terrific cast.
It holds up.
Robert Redford, Ben Kingsley, James Earl Jones, River Phoenix, Dan Aykroyd, Sidney Poitier, Mary McDonald. My God, it was just David Strathairn. Great, great, great cast. And it is one of those techno caper movies that uses a cradle modem. I mean, it was written so long ago, there are cradle modems in it, like AOL was probably in it. But at the same time, the film was so future-seeing that it isn't outdated. It is still captivating in a caper kind of way and scary in a caper kind of way. And it's a delightful film to watch.
It really is. And if you haven't seen it, it's something. We watched it with my son, and he loved that
movie. It's a great flick.
Such a good movie.
It was River Phoenix's last film, I believe, correct?
I think you're right. Is that
right? It was one of them. Yeah, close, yeah.
There may have been another one he had shot that came out after he had died, but...
Well, my favorite scene in that movie is the one where, and sorry, this isn't your scene, but it's the one where Robert Redford is blindfolded and in the back of the van, David Strathairn, who plays a blind person, helps him identify what the sounds he's hearing so that they can reproduce where he went.
Yes, it sounds like a cocktail party, and it turns out to be this park with geese in it.
Exactly.
Yes,
it's a great scene. Yeah, it's a great flick. I love that movie.
It's phenomenal. One of my most fun memories of Sneakers is, like I said, you have this cast that you never get together in this day and time. And we were shooting over on the Universal lot, and they have those trams that go through with all the tourists taking pictures of everything. And the guys who run the trams have this patter. And they go like, well, over here is Bruce the shark from Jaws. Oh, over there is like the car Columbo drove. And they just do this with their little microphones and everybody snapping pictures. Well, my trailer was on one side of the road. And on the other side of the road was James Earl Jones's trailer and Robert Redford's trailer. And the tram is coming through and we're called to the set. And James Earl Jones and Robert Redford are walking across the road, and the tram has to stop for them. And I'm watching this, right? But the guy who's doing the patter of the tram, he doesn't know what's happening. He just keeps going like, and there's the shark from Jaws, and over there is the coat from Columbo. And the two biggest actors in the world, James Earl Jones and Robert Redford, walk in front of the tram, and no one takes their picture.
Oh.
Hilarious. It was a true Hollywood heartbreaking moment, but it was fabulous. It was fabulous and great. And I saw Phil Robinson at the Symphony like 10 years after we did Sneakers. And I said, Phil, what are your feelings about Sneakers now? And he said, my biggest regret is that we cannot start shooting tomorrow and do the whole thing again.
Aww.
He said, I had so much fun shooting that movie. It was such a delight to go to work every day. And that kind of joy is in the film.
I love hearing that because it was a fun the first time I saw it. I owned the VHS copy of it, watched it over and over again, and I was so happy to share it with my son. And we could listen to you talk all night, but we are so grateful for your time and so excited to find out more about this project, Asleep at the Wheel. Carl, can people find out, can they support you too? Do you still need some help on this?
Actually, I do. But I don't have a GoFundMe set up, darn it, because I'm trying to take it to the Montreal Comedy Fest at the end of July. You can PM me, I guess, at Facebook, Carl, and then Kozlowski. And I have some. I'm about to be launching a campaign in the next couple of days. I just didn't have time to get it up yet, but I'm trying to get some money to go travel up there and show it off to comedy world execs at the world's biggest comedy fest in July in Montreal, the Just for Laughs Fest. But tomorrow night it's at Second City's DeMott Theater at 10 o'clock. I'm going to be doing like about 30 to 45 minutes of stand-up and storytelling, and then we're going to debut the show. And I promise it'll be a really funny night, so please come out.
And Stephen, I know that you've written a couple books. When I heard you on Nick D's show, and again, if he'll ever let me borrow you, I will do that if you are so gracious enough to join us again. But the story stories that you told when you were talking about your book, My Adventures with God, I was just dying. In particular, I don't want you to go into it because I want people to read your book, but is the Willie Nelson story in there where you tried sending him that song that you wanted to get to him and just mailed it to Texas?
That story is in there.
Okay, please, please.
The Willie Nelson story is there.
So, I mean, I was riveted. I was, it's just, your storytelling is enchanting. So I would encourage people to pick up My Adventures with God, and you can also find The Dangerous Animal Club, both by Stephen Tobolowsky, our gracious guest tonight. Thank you so much, sir. It was wonderful talking to you.
Thank you so much. This was a blast. Everybody should go see Carl. He's a hoot.
Go see Carl.
SecondCity.com and looking for a sleep at the wheel to get tickets.
There you go. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your evening and happy 4th of July, my friend.
Okay. Happy Chicago.
Thank you.
Thank you.
More after this on 720 WGN.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of What's That From?
From the archives of Roger's...
My mind?
I don't know. we have a movie. Is this a classic movie? Once again,
very classic.
None of us in the studio have any idea of what we're reading, so we're going to wing it. Eric is going to be the odd man out. Maybe if you hear any sound effects that you can offer.
Sorry, Eric.
So do
a clinking sound.
Clinking,
can you do clinking glasses, like glasses and bottles?
Clink, clink. Here, I got a bottle.
Clink, clink.
There you go.
Just motion.
That sounds like you just mugged someone.
I got a bottle too.
Sounds like a police baton.
Oh, yeah, right. Plastic bottle. Yeah, it's not working. Yeah, Roger, I have no clue what this is.
That's all right. Well, there are instructions. Just broke your bottle. There are instructions for one of you, and that's at the very top of how to perform it.
Yes, I believe that would be me.
Okay, thank you.
Me.
Yes, that would be you.
Okay.
Are you ready? Michael, are we ready with our sound effect?
Oh, we are ready, Roger.
Okay. Oh, you are awesome.
And when our listeners know what's that from, 312-981-7200. Give us a call and you'll win a gift card from Apt Electronics.
Here we go. Jerry, the bottle clutched in his hand, is hanging upside down while Sugar in the upper berth holds onto his legs. As Jerry tries to raise himself back up, he slips out of Sugar's grasp and sprawls in the aisle. He lies absolutely still, afraid that Joe may have heard him.
You all right?
I'm fine.
How's the bottle?
Yeah, full.
As he hands it up to her, the curtains of upper fore part and Dolores, who has been awakened by the fall, peeks out.
You better get some cups.
Jerry pads over to the water fountain beside the restrooms. He punches out a couple of paper cups from a dispenser, flirts back to berth 7, and scurries up the ladder. Dolores watches all this with great interest. Back in upper 7, Sugar has already opened the bottle.
I tell you, this is the only way to travel.
You better put on the lights. I can't see what I'm doing.
No lights! We don't want anyone to know we're having a party.
I may spill something.
So spill it! Spills, thrills, laughs, games! This may even turn out to be a surprise party!
What's the surprise?
Not yet!
When?
We better have a drink first.
Here, this'll put hair on your chest.
No fair guessing!
They drink. The curtains open, and Dolores, standing on the ladder outside, sticks her head in.
This is a private clam bake. Or can anybody join?
It's private! Go away!
Say, Dolores, you still got that bottle of vermouth?
Sure.
Who needs vermouth?
We have some bourbon. Let's make Manhattans.
Okay.
Manhattans? That time of night?
And bring the cocktail shaker.
Oh, Sugar, you're gonna spoil my surprise.
Dolores has crossed the aisle. And getting a foot up on lower four, reaches up into her berth for the vermouth. The curtains of lower four open, and Mary Lou sticks her head out.
What's up?
Party in upper 7.
I got some cheese and crackers.
And get a corkscrew.
By the way, I figured it out.
You did. Yes, and there's a significance to between this scene and today's weather.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No clue.
We have nice hint. The phone lines have lit up, and we'll take our first caller for a shot at what's that from, Laurel?
Hi.
Hi.
It's Some Like It Hot.
Woo-hoo! Ding, 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 ding.
Some Like It Hot is a great movie, and
it was my performance.
It was your performance. Yeah.
And you guys did a great performance on that.
I was fighting really hard not to go Southern. I was trying to go breathy.
Very entertaining.
I appreciate that. Well, hold on the line, and we will get you a gift card to Apt Electronics. Say hi to our good friend Steve Shapiro when you stop out there. I think they sell air conditioners, so that might help a lot of people this weekend. I do have a little bit of Some Like It Hot trivia. So if we have, let's see if Mark has, I'll get a question up for you. Here we go. Hey, Mark.
How are you? Hi.
So there was a scene where Tony Curtis does an impression of another actor. What actor does he imitate in Some Like It Hot?
Judy. I believe it's Cary Grant.
Congratulations. You've also won a gift card to Apt Electronics. Mark, I love that movie. Do you like it hot, by the way? Just out of curiosity.
I love it. It's one of the funniest films. Billy Wilder directed it. It's really... And they made a Broadway musical of it called Sugar.
Oh, that makes sense. Well, I'm so glad you've also won a gift card to Apt Electronics. You hold on the line, and Michael will get your information and send that card out to you. So, Andre, have you ever seen Some Like It Hot?
No.
That's okay.
Great flick.
Well, a lot of people aren't raised on classic movies, though. If your parents
I've seen a ton. I just haven't seen that one.
They haven't seen that one?
No.
Well, yeah. I think you would like this one.
Would I?
It starts with the Valentine's Day Massacre here in Chicago.
You know, the funny thing about these scripts that we do, when I first read the script through, I'm like, yeah, I have no idea what this is. And then when we started performing it, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I know what this is.
Is it my Marilyn?
I thought it was my own really phenomenal performance as the falsetto guy. But all of a sudden it just clicked. I'm like, oh, of course that's what that is.
Yes. So there you go. Some Like It Hot.
Some Like It Hot.
Well done, everybody. Hey, Roger. So
yes?
the driver on 65 says that you're talking about two different problems. I'm trying to see that they said it's here you go. It's got to be a wreck. Heavy and small tow trucks are headed south at or around mile marker 238. He's telling people to take, I don't mean to assume it's a he, but the 815 says take US 41 south.
Okay. So, I'm not seeing any of that on our map. Hold on a second. Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on a second. Things change.
Well, see, no, it doesn't say why, but this is at things start slowing up. Let's see here. Near Highway 231. Is that what he said? No?
I don't know if it was near 231.
231, and this is, again, southbound. 231, and it opens up around County Road 900.
There you go.
State Route 2, is that what he said? So the heaviest spot is between, let's see here, State Route 2. I guess it parallels there.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, but it's not saying that there's an accident. That's why it threw me when he asked.
Right.
Because there's nothing there indicating that there's an accident or anything. Not even road construction.
Yeah.
So, it's popped up on my map.
There you go. It is going to be a hot weekend. I know a lot of people are going to be in their car. So make sure you have everything you need, whether it's, make sure you got your oil ready to go. If you're going to be, especially if you get stuck in these traffic jams, you want to make sure that you keep your gas tank. We always talk about the winter, how to get your car ready for the winter. Also be prepared for the summer and this heat. And Eric, how do you enjoy the heat or do you prefer cooler climbs?
I like it when it's warm.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I like to get out on the motorcycle, and in weather like this, it is just so hot because you can't cool down, and the air that's blowing on you or as you're going is just hot air, and then the heat from the road is just incredible.
When you're cycling, do you find that too? I mean, like, one, it's hot, and now you're exerting a lot of energy, but also it's just like there's no relief.
Yeah, I mean, I often am biking on the lakefront, so it's usually not that bad. But
right.
Eric, I think the movie you would prefer is Some Like It Warm.
Yes.
Yeah, not hot.
Because Andrea was saying earlier that she used to not even turn the air conditioner on until it was aggressively hot.
Until it was like 90s is when I would turn it on.
Really interesting.
Wow.
Because I can't sleep over 72.
You can't sleep over.
I can't.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No, no. I need it cool. I need it cool. I don't sleep well if it's warm.
Well, this weather reminds me of when I was a kid. We didn't have air conditioning.
Yeah.
And we'd open all the windows in the house, and we would pray for a draft of some kind.
We didn't have air in school, and now it's just always funny when they're like, oh, school's canceled because the air's gone out. We're like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
exactly.
We would sit there and sweat, and we'd fan ourselves. And I remember my algebra teacher in seventh grade going, oh, don't fan it. It makes it worse. And we're like, no, it doesn't. It helps a little bit.
Do you remember why
I had air in school?
They said it was because you were exerting energy, so it doesn't make it cooler. But I disagree.
I totally disagree.
I used to really enjoy, when I was a kid, taking my shortwave radio outside on the porch, 2:30 in the morning, 90 degrees.
Yeah.
And I'd tune in a West Coast baseball game, and I'd be sitting out there. It was very quiet. I used to love it. I mean, today's weather really did bring back some good old memories.
I spent hours at Norwood Park Pool. I would just swim all day. I also was at Girl Scout camp a lot. We used to go to the beach if it was too hot.
Did you have air conditioning there?
No air conditioning. I was in tents for about 2 months. I went from the end of school year to the middle of August. I was at Girl Scout camp. So yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I didn't have air conditioning then pretty much for 2 months.
Well, and in fact, the camp that Eli goes to in the Northwoods, they don't have air conditioning. I didn't have air conditioning as a kid, and yet one year when his first ever away camp for like 5 days, the dorms had air conditioning. I'm like, no,
what?
No, yeah. You're not sweating and uncomfortable. You're not in camp.
Yeah, I suggested to the family today that maybe we spend one of the next 2 days without air conditioning so we can see what it was like.
Did you really?
What it was like back in our day?
Yeah, that didn't go over well.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you said that because so tomorrow, and I don't mean to transition to other topics, but tomorrow, nationally, there are hundreds of protests protesting the child separation at the border. And we're going to go down tomorrow as a family to Daly Plaza and protest. And frankly, Eli at first was complaining. He's like, but Dad, it's going to be hot. And I'm like, I said, buddy, think about what all those families have been living with at the border and trying to get to the border. We're going to suffer for a couple of hours in a little heat. It'll make you feel just a tiny, teeny, teeny, tiny bit of what people go through having to endure this in the Texas, in the Mexican heat.
Are you going to walk there?
No.
You're going to take the air conditioned car?
Well, that's what
I said. It's super noble of you, but I'm thinking, okay, heat index is between 105 and 115.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah, maybe rent a documentary.
Suck it up. No, he'll be fine.
Watch it on the news. We're covering it.
Yeah, no. If you see me pass out, you can cover that. But no, I think we'll be fine. We'll drink water.
Yeah.
You can always duck into a restaurant.
I'm going to watch Portugal and Uruguay.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Argentina and France in the morning, followed by Portugal and Uruguay.
You know, it's going to be hot.
We have not talked at all about the World Cup. Is anybody besides Ken watching the World Cup?
I've gotten into it. But not as much as when the U.S. is in it. I have to say it took a few days for me to get the enthusiasm up, but now I'm really enjoying watching it again.
Okay.
But it's still not quite like when the U.S. is involved.
I'm in a World Cup pool.
Are you?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Did you pick?
Cool? It was picked for us.
Okay,
so... And I have to figure out who I picked or who was picked for me.
How about you, Eric? Are you watching
the
World Cup?
I think it's awesome. It is so exciting.
Well, tomorrow you get to watch the two greatest players in the world, Lionel Messi in the morning and Ronaldo in the afternoon.
Absolutely.
So wait, this is soccer that you say is exciting?
Oh, God, yes.
I'm sure. I think it's exciting.
The fans are fun.
Andrea, I never thought a 1-0 or 0-0 game would be exciting.
Right. How like
it's
a
riveting.
Game that ends in a tie.
It's riveting.
I don't get it.
Totally riveting. I mean, it's incredible. You're on the edge of your seat the entire game.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a friend who's been hanging out at the Greystone Bar in Wrigleyville, and he said he's just been having a blast watching the game. A lot of people from all over the world are hanging out there, and he just loves watching them. Everyone get emotionally invested in their game. I remember one time I went to a bakery. I get mistaken for a lot of different ethnicities, so I was at an Italian bakery up in Harwood Heights, and the woman had the World Cup on in the background, and she was like yelling, and she goes, she turned to me, she goes, "You're Italian, right?" And I go, "No, I'm Mexican and Irish." She goes, "Apps." Yeah. And just like,
well, Italy didn't qualify
so
either.
Invested. Yes,
so Italy's on the sidelines too. So she probably has the TV off today.
I'll tell you if I can, real quick. When we went to Rome and Milan back about 8-9 years ago, they broadcast the World Cup game on the side of a building right outside the main Duomo in the square, and it was packed, and it was the most awesome thing that I've ever seen.
Huh.
Yeah, it is an amazing sport. I can't get into the MLS or normal day-to-day soccer, but the World Cup, just it's off the charts. These are the best players in the world, the best teams in the world, and it really is fun to watch.
Well, and the pride that everyone has for their home country.
Yeah, that part's cool.
Awesome.
The fans are cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We did have one tragedy. A person rooting for Brazil was with a small group apparently in Russia, watching the event somewhere. And when the match ended, everybody got excited and jumped up and down. And she slipped and fell onto a wine glass, which broke and shattered and cut her jugular vein. And she was dead in 5 minutes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, 30 years old. Yep.
What a freak accident.
Well, it caused an earthquake in Mexico.
Oh, when they jumped up. Yeah, you got to be careful. The ground's not quite solid. Yeah, they have a loose. No, I had heard this.
Really?
Yeah, there was a minor disturbance in the force. More after this on 720 WGN. True story. Tell me something good. One of the something goods is that Andrea and Elton Jim are having a good time reminiscing.
Can I tell you something good?
Sure.
My uncle formed the group Rufus here in Chicago.
I didn't know that.
That's something good. Not that I haven't seen you in forever, and we're like back together. We worked together for 3 years, and
I was going to live in this moment of.
I thought so too.
We already hugged.
Then forget my something good.
I already groped you 2 times. How much more do you want?
2 more?
Oh, hi-oh.
Okay. Hey-oh. Do it. Come on, do that.
It got weird.
Quick.
Yeah, really. So, Dave, you've been itching to tell us something good tonight, because the other night when you were with me at the end of the show, you were like, don't come to me for the something good. So
yeah,
tell me something good.
Well, that was Kennedy night. Yes. That was Wednesday night. And I was like, no. Just bad. Mm-hmm. It's all bad.
Better now?
Better day.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a great day today. It was a great day today. I started in court, actually.
I saw that.
beating.
This is your something good?
Yeah. He won?
No.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, no. It was a client of mine forced a transparency on the Illinois Commerce Commission over something important.
Oh, good.
This whole court is out of order.
Are our rates going down?
Yes, they are.
Good.
And then I had my lunch today, and Eli was there, and he was spectacular. He only made one comment, but it was just so profound and brilliant. And everybody was like, and he kept getting better and better. And everybody was like, wow, that was really amazing. And then, of course, we went to the Cubs game.
How many something goods do you have?
Yeah, really?
That's my third. That's it. That's
okay.
It's something. Okay. It was singular, not plural.
It's the whole thing.
We've got plenty of time.
And I have to say, I heard Dave, I was talking to Dave on the phone. He says, the national anthem started. So I said, sing it, Dave. And he did. I heard Dave sing the national anthem today.
Sing it
very good job.
That was something good.
Everybody else.
Yeah.
So he snuck in another something good.
I know,
but he used someone else's.
Yep.
That's not even fair.
He's very good about that.
That is not fair, according to the rules that I saw.
We had planned that out.
I paid him for it.
Yeah. How about you, Ken? Get something good for us?
Yeah, I'm alive, so it's been one of those weeks. Wednesday night was not a good night if you were driving, as I found out. But yeah, no, it's going to be a good weekend. My in-laws' 50th wedding anniversary, actually, it's today. We're going to celebrate it tonight in Huntley. So congratulations to Walter and Carol Roth.
You know who lives in Huntley, don't you?
Yes.
Who?
Orion Samuelson.
Yeah, it's true. It's correct. He's here. Orion's here.
Really screaming right now.
Orion impression.
What does he think about Jameson's Steakhouse?
My wife Gloria and I love the onion rings.
And the Grecian style sea bass.
And the Grecian style sea bass. Now back to you, Max.
Thank you, you rascal.
God, that's so good. That's eerily good.
So good.
Oh, Jim.
Eric, tell me something good.
I'm really glad that my air conditioner is working full throttle.
Excellent. I guess that should be mine now, too.
Andrea, you can't piggyback on that one. Well, tell me something good, Andrea.
Let me see. Something good that happened. I got a haircut today.
Excellent. That feels good. Hey, we all get our
you
things.
You always feel good when you get a haircut, right?
Your things.
Keep working on that.
I took my boys to the Museum of Science and Industry today, and if you go to my Facebook page, Patty Vasquez, not the Patty V Show, but my personal page, you can look at the video. But what you can't see in that video is that, because I never show Declan's face, Declan is unable to speak, and he loves loves that museum, and there were a couple times when he would pull me down just to look at me that almost felt like he was saying, thank you so much for bringing me here. So
they
that
still
was...
have the coal mine there?
Yes.
Or is that politically incorrect? I thought they may have closed it. Now we just have solar panels down there.
No, that's actually the only coal mine where there are jobs left.
Right, exactly. So
now the baby chicks might not be PC.
They just hired somebody, so that's where Trump is getting his coal mining coming back statistics from.
So what's come up on your show, Jim?
Oh, well, let's see. What am I doing? I was just in Los Angeles a couple of days ago, and I've seen this phenomenon, which I have not seen here in Chicago yet, but I'm wondering if will happen. They have these electric scooters.
Oh, they're coming.
Are they coming?
Uber's bringing the electric bikes. Oh, yes.
They're just on. Yep. People just get on these things for a buck, and then it's 15 cents a mile.
Yeah,
they are awesome. Have you ever been on
one? I've never been on one, but they were all over. They were lining the beach at Santa Monica, and everybody's just jumping.